economy in motion are greed. I'll tackle philosophy and myth in Karl Marx, Cambridge University Press, 1961, 1970. Page 526. 22. Marx and Engels, Part Roman I of Deutschen Ideologie, Marx Engels Archives, Band Roman I, pages 239. 23. Marx, Das Kapital, in the place cited, page 140. 24. On this point, see the work of Bukharin that underlines the natural factor in a clear way. Die Theorie des historischen Materialismus, 1922. This whole question is specifically dealt with in the illuminating work of K. A. Wittfogel, Geopolitik, geografischer Materialismus und Marxismus. Unter dem Banner des Marxismus, Roman 3, 1, 4 and 5. 25, Marx and Engels, in the place cited, page 237 and following. 26, to me, however, there seems to be an imminent contradiction in Freud's assumption that the growth of the superego in the repressions is tied up with this also, for the growth of the ego in one's capacity for sublimation means that the person gains control over the instinct in other ways rather than through repression. 27. Lack of any adequate psychology led many proponents of historical materialism to inject a private, purely idealistic psychology in this empty place. A typical example is Kautsky, who, not as open idealistic as Bernstein and others, assumed that man has an inborn social instinct and describes the relationship between this social instinct and social relationship in this way. Depending on the strength or weakness of his social instinct, man will tend more toward good or evil. But it depends no less in his living conditions in society. In the place cited, page 262. Clearly, Kautsky's innate social instinct is nothing less than the innate moral principle. His position differ from idealistic ethics only in the way he expresses it. In his theory des historischen Materialismus, Bukharin devotes a whole chapter to the problem of psychology. He rightly points out that the psychology of a class is not identical with its interests, by which he means its real economic interests, but that the psychology of a class must always be explained in terms of its socio-economic role. As an example, he cites the case where a mood of despair grips the masses or some group after a great defeat in the class struggle, when we can detect a connection with class interests, but this connection is often distinctive sort. The battle was carried on by the hidden motifs of the parties involved, and now their army lies in defeat. From this situation arises confusion and despair, and the people begin to look for miracles from heaven. Italics are mine. Bukharin then goes on to say, in considering class psychology, then it is evident that we are dealing with a very complicated phenomenon that cannot be explained on the basis of naked interest alone. It must be explained in terms of the concrete milieu of the class in question. Bukharin also notes that ideological processes are a particular type of social labor, but since he has no suitable psychology available to him, he cannot go on to explain the nature of his labor process. 28. Cited by Grünberg in Verhandlungen des Vereins für Sozialpolitik, Stuttgart, 1924, page 31. 29. It should be remembered that this specific father-child relationship itself is socially conditioned. Page 527. 30. Sie from zur Psychologie des Verbrechers und der strafenden Gesellschaft. Roman 17, Imago 12. Not only does the cultural apparatus serve to direct the libido forces, especially the pre-genital and the partial drives, in specific socially desired directions, it also serves to weaken the libido forces to the point where they no longer are a threat to social stability. This toning down of the libido forces, that is, turning them back into the pre-genital realm, is one of the motives of the sexual morality of the given society. 31. In mass psychology and ego analysis, Freud focuses on the libido factors in the relationship to the leader. But he takes both leader and masses in an abstract sense, disregarding the concrete situation surrounding them. He thus gives a universality to the psychic processes involved that does not correspond to reality. In other words, he turns one particular type of relationship to the leader into a universal type. Another critical problem of social psychology, class relationship, is replaced by a secondary problem, the ruler-mass relationship. It is noteworthy, however, that in this work, Freud notes the general tendency of bourgeois social psychology to disparage the masses and does not fall in with it. 32. What I have called here the libidinal structure of society, using Freudian terminology, I have in my later work called the social character, in spite of the change in the libido theory. The concepts are the same.